Testing, testing. Is everything on? All right, here we go.
Okay. Hey, I got an idea. Jay, I wanted to, I was thinking about honoring Texas A&M. You know, they're a military school.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And thought maybe just a little piece of some military music that might be apropos for Saturday's game.
Okay, I got something.
Okay. Maybe not.
Well, how about a poem?
Yeah,
I got a poem.
Okay, yeah. Now I was thinking about that maybe we could read something poetic to kind of okay. get things going. What do you got?
All right,
what
this is for A&M. And somewhere men are laughing, and somewhere children shout, but there's no joy in Mudville. Mighty Casey has struck out.
That's
not going to work either.
That's not real uplifting. Oh well.
The following is an AUFans.com production. War Eagle.
Touchdown, Auburn! Touchdown, Auburn!
Well, Mr. Stevens, people will come to therapy for a variety of reasons. What type of problem are you experiencing?
I keep having this nightmare over and over of being inside the 2-3 yard line and fumbling an exchange and then landing on the fumble, and yet they give it to the other team. Help me, doctor. Help me.
Yes. I have seen this type of psychosis many times. And it seems that the only thing that is a very good remedy for this, here's what I want you to do, Mr. Stevens. What you need to do is repeat this phrase, War Eagle. You do this 10 times at the top of each hour, as so. War Eagle. War Eagle. War Eagle. War Eagle. War Eagle. War Eagle. War Eagle!
This is Talking Tigers Football with Stan and Jay.
Can you help me? I think I took a wrong turn somewhere.
Real Auburn fans bleed orange and blue. What about you? And now, your hosts, Stan Stevens and Jay Webb for AUFans.com.
Welcome, everybody. And War Eagle, I am your host, Stan Stevens.
And I'm your other host, Jay Webb, War Eagle.
War Eagle, Jay. Well, Jay, as you can probably tell, I'm in all black over here tonight.
Oh, yeah.
And that's only because I couldn't find the sackcloth and ashes that I hadn't laid out. But, you know, a funny thing happened on the way to the college football Final Four National Championship.
And what was that?
We got gigged by A&M. Yes, this is true, Jay. And these are the same Texas A&M Aggies that were previously trounced by the Crimson Tide, Ole Miss, and Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. So, needless to say, the 24-point, I guess, favorites that we were was a little misguided. Now, I'll tell you, here's the other thing, though. And we're looking into this here at AUFans.com. It's been suggested that Kyle Allen, you know, the quarterback, supposedly Texas A&M quarterback, was actually Denver Broncos quarterback Peyton Manning. It's scandalous. Seriously, Jay, I mean, and we'll get to my crow eating later, but that was certainly unexpected Saturday. Of course, you know, we need to talk a little bit about, you know, what I saw, you know, what Auburn fans saw Saturday. And, I mean, it started off bad right from the get-go, Jay. I mean, like fourth or fifth play into the game, we have another busted coverage in the secondary, and A&M receiver goes 60 yards for a touchdown. So, right off the bat, you had – and then we get the ball back, and I think it was either maybe the first offensive play, Cameron Artis Payne Has a nice run, fumbles. So I'm thinking, wait a minute. You know, I was waiting for cowbells to come in at that point right. because it was just almost exactly the way we started, yeah. kind of the way yeah. we started against State. We get down, and then they take the ball, they drive it back down. I mean, before you can sit down in your seat with your, you know, with your overpriced popcorn and Coke at Jordan-Hare Stadium, we're down 14 to yeah. zip.
That hurt.
Yeah, and, of course, you know, Auburn battled back, but then – and tied it up by the end of the first quarter. Second quarter, Jay, is all, again, all A&M. We continue to have busts in the secondary. In other words, people were in man coverage. Somebody lets a guy go free. The enthusiasm, frankly, looked like, you know, I mean, we just looked like we were kind of walking through our assignments in the first half. And, I mean, A&M, this was not and people say this all the time. Well, you know, when we played them, they did. I mean, this A&M team looked a lot better than they had at least the previous weeks.
Sure.
It looked a lot like the team that played South Carolina. Of course, we know now that South Carolina is really bad. And, of course, they've changed quarterback. I mean, but I guess really right off the bat, the most disappointing thing about this A&M game, letting a 18-year-old true freshman first SEC game on the road and to come in and have that kind of poise. And I really thought maybe we should have, even if it meant some cheap touchdowns, and as it turned out, I mean, how much worse could it have been than 35 first half points? Yeah. But, you know, hit Kyle Allen, yeah. blitz, yeah,
hit him. Didn't put any pressure on him, did
No
we?
Pressure. So, not only are you allowing him to get comfortable back there, you're giving him time. So, yeah. I mean, again, as it turned out, they were busting big long plays anyway. I say, you know, you turn everybody loose and hit him in the mouth a few times and see if you could have rattled him. And in the second half, we did some of that. Now they had some long drives, honestly, in the second half that ended up we did stop them in the red zone, and they had to, you know, kick field goals. But yeah. So, I mean, it was – I mean, we bounced back. Like I said, we got down 14-0. We came back, scored two touchdowns. I'm feeling good. I'm thinking, okay, we're headed toward, you know, 40-something to 14.
Yeah.
The defense just could not stop. And even the run – their run game, Jay, that was the thing. They were running the ball decent against us. And then, of course, the final – you know, poor play of the first half. We line up after getting down there twice ourselves and having to settle for field goals. Well, we kicked one, the first one.
Yeah.
The field goal we were going to end the first half on gets blocked.
Yeah.
by all-world Myles Garrett. I mean, this defensive freshman, defensive end for A&M just – I mean, I went back and watched the film again. And Sean Coleman, who's a pretty decent offensive tackle, true to his name because he ended up having to tackle Garrett a couple of times, and they missed calling a holding or two on us, but yeah. and they did flag him for a holding. But that kid, he blocked the kick. A&M picks it up, runs it back on the last play of the half. Now I don't know that that's ever happened to Auburn. Hey, there's your challenge out there, AU fans. If you can find an Auburn game where the half ended on a block kick run back for a touchdown. First time probably in school history. So it was a pretty forgettable first half. Jay, the second half we came out and, you know, we actually ended up winning the second half like 21-6. I mean, but here's the thing. Those fumbles at the end, those nightmarish fumbles at the end of the game, and that one inside the 2 or 3 yard line, which, you know, certainly cost us the lead at that time. And
yeah.
You know, and of course that goes back, we had three fumbles in the game that we lost, and then a block kick for a touchdown. So I've been saying what all year, penalties and turnovers. Yeah. You just cannot
Those are
have
the
them.
Things that kill us.
Yeah. So, you know, the second half, I mean, we could talk a long time about that. I mean, Auburn ran the ball really well. Cameron Artis Payne, Jay, maybe the most underrated running back in the country. He leads the SEC. He had 200 and something yards Saturday. But there's still, and I may wait and talk about this in a minute when I talk about Georgia, but, you know, the passing game, you know, we hit a couple of big plays. I mean, there was that big throw to Sammy Coates that, where he caught it.
Very nice.
Another big catch, diving catch by Ricardo Lewis. But as far as the consistent, and I know we're running the ball well, but as well as we're running it, Jay, I mean, these defenses, even though they're not necessarily stopping us, they're committing more and more people to stop the run. I mean, Nick's got a big arm. We ought to be taking advantage. There's got to be some big throws, I have to believe, going forward in these last two big games, Georgia and Alabama. Coach Malzahn is bound to have some really nice pass plays that we can, you know, bust for big gainers. We just have not used the passing game as well as I think we could. Now, I mean, again, it's hard to argue with the number one rushing team in the conference, and that's going to be our bread and butter, especially with Nick running the offense. But kind of wrap it up as far as Saturday. I mean, there's not a whole lot to say about that game. I mean, it's Auburn obviously let one get away that they should have won. You know, everybody's focusing on that play inside, you know, inside the 4 or 5 yard line where Nick, you know, and it's that zone read that Auburn runs. I mean, they just run it. I don't know how many times they've run that play. And it looked like maybe Nick just held on to the ball a little bit too long. It appeared, again, and I know a lot of Auburn people are focused on this, it did look like Cameron Artis Payne, you know, fell on the ball, but the A&M guy came out of the pile. Unfortunately, I mean, the rules are what they are. They tried to review it, and there was just no way in that mass of humanity to see that Cameron Artis Payne had it and was down. But and then that the very last, you know, the last offensive play of the game, obviously, where Dismukes kind of centered, you know, not sure what happened there. I mean, Reese Dismukes probably, and he's having a great year, and he's probably the best center. He's in the top two or three centers in the country. So, I mean, I'm not going to fault him. It's just, again, Jay, the last few games, and it finally caught up with us. But, you know, we talked about Ole Miss, a lot of penalties.
Yeah.
Maybe not as many penalties Saturday, but, I mean, again, the turnovers, fumbles, and Mississippi State we talked about, you know, the two straight turn. I mean, this just has not been Auburn's, best year in terms of, mistakes, if you will, whether they be penalties, turnovers, what have you. So, that's going to be a tough one to swallow. I don't think there's any question Auburn has more talent right now than A&M. Maybe not so much this Mississippi State team of the two games, but both of these games were very winnable games. So, you know, if we don't get where we want to this year, I mean, it's going to be some tough, some long nights for Coach Malzahn, you know, wondering, you know, what went wrong. But, of course, now we got, the big week coming up this week, Jay.
Ah, yes, Georgia.
Yes, the oldest rivalry in the South. I forget what the record is, like 55, 54, and 8. So those up. That's a lot of games.
117.
All right.
Ask me how I know this.
How did you know that?
Just plain old addition.
Okay. That's why I've got you on the team here, brother. Georgia. we said earlier, you remember a couple weeks ago, we said, hey, which Bo Wallace is going to show
right,
up?
Yeah.
Well, which Georgia Bulldogs are going to show up? We're hoping it's Georgia from 2 weeks ago, or maybe the Georgia team that played South Carolina. Now, you know, a couple things to look at with Georgia, Jay. Of course, they're going to have Todd Gurley back, but they've had great production from Nick Chubb, their freshman running back. So, even though Gurley's going to be fresh, I'm hoping that somehow maybe, you know, he hadn't been hitting that much in 4 weeks. Maybe he'll cough one up himself. But Georgia's had, in their two losses, they've given up 38 points. I mean, South Carolina, at South Carolina, 38 points, okay, maybe. I mean, the Gator team had been struggling, as you recall. I mean, they had just won. I mean, they beat Tennessee 10-9 in a really ugly offensive performance, and it was really ugly against Alabama. But, I mean, Jay, when they played Georgia, the Gators looked like, you know, the 1960s Green Bay Packers running the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, so you really hope that their rushing defense, that rushing defense shows up Saturday night. Now, they've also given up over 30 points to Tennessee, Arkansas, and Kentucky. Now, they did blow Kentucky clean out of the bluegrass Saturday offensively, and the only thing that kind of worried me with that game, Hudson Mason, Georgia's quarterback, who's not been throwing the ball extremely well or hadn't been throwing it much all year, kind of lit up the Cats in Lexington. So, but their defense, and what's interesting about that, I had actually been talking up Georgia's defense early in the season because they've got Jeremy Pruitt, who is a Nick Saban disciple, and he was the architect of Florida State's defense last year. He's the Georgia new defensive coordinator. And, you know, there's some concern in my mind, you know, since they slowed us down in the championship game, you know, that he's going to have some good insight on, you know, what to do to stop Auburn's, you know, Coach Malzahn's offense. So, but they have given up a lot of points. So what we have to hope for Saturday night, Jay, is a repeat of the maybe the Florida game 2 weeks ago. It's going to be strength against strength. I mean, Georgia's rushing offense versus Auburn, the best thing that Auburn's done on defense is stop the run. And I'm hoping that Houston Mason doesn't have a coming-out party like Kyle Allen. I mean, that's just getting to be
– we don't need to see that again.
No. So Houston – you know, Houston Mason versus Auburn secondary. I mean, that's going to be something. I mean, our secondary the last few games has just really, really struggled. And they've got to step it up Saturday night against the Dogs. Looking back, like I say, some weaknesses Auburn had going back to, you know, Saturday's game and then looking forward is, as we talked about, you know, the play of the secondary has been – it's not so much the talent, Jay. It's just when they've busted the assignment, it's gone for six or it's gone for a huge play.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got to eliminate the big play Saturday. We've got to make Georgia go on those 12 and 13, 14 play drives and then hopefully maybe, you know, limit them to a field goal. We cannot go to Georgia, turn the ball over. We can't have untimely penalties. This has got to be where Auburn, because, Jay, I mean, I've actually got a way for Auburn to get into the SEC championship game.
No way.
There is a way.
So you figured this out.
Well, I'd like to take credit, but unfortunately, I'm afraid some of my astute AU fans, listeners would you know, they could go search on the internet and see where I got all this. But
let's hear what you got.
Well, here's the scenario.
All right.
Of course, Auburn has to beat Georgia and Alabama, and that's on the road. Yeah. That's probably the toughest part of this whole scenario.
Yeah. All right.
But you know, as far as one game at a time, we have to go to Athens, Georgia. We have to beat Georgia.
Okay.
Mississippi State has to come to Tuscaloosa and get beat by Alabama.
Do you think that's going to happen?
We'll get to that in just my predictions a second. But that has to happen.
Okay.
We'll say just right now that it's going to happen.
Okay.
And then, of course, Ole Miss needs to beat Arkansas. I think Ole Miss will be favored in that, even though Arkansas is playing much, much better. But then Auburn has, again, like I say, they had to beat Alabama. Mississippi State then has to go and lose to Ole Miss. I think if Mississippi State does lose Saturday to the Tide, the game at Oxford, the Egg Bowl, is going to be – I mean, it's going to be a close game. I mean, I'll talk about that in just a second. But so basically what happens is if you have four teams in the West ties, let's say, all 6-2 records.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What they look at is then the records of those four teams against each other.
Right.
So what you would have in that case, you would have Alabama. If Auburn beats Georgia and Alabama, Alabama beats Mississippi State, loses to Auburn, Mississippi State loses to Ole Miss, and Ole Miss beats Arkansas and beats Mississippi State, of course. This, you'd have all teams 6-2. What you would have in that Western Division, Alabama, Mississippi State would be 1-2 against the other two teams, because Alabama would have lost to us and Ole Miss and beaten Mississippi State. So it comes down to that Ole Miss and Auburn would be 2-1. Ole Miss having beaten Alabama and Mississippi State and losing to us, us having beaten Ole Miss and Alabama and then losing to Mississippi State. Well, if it gets down to then they eliminate Alabama, Mississippi State, then it's Ole Miss and Auburn at 2-1 against each other.
Yeah.
And then they go to head-to-head competition. Well, since we beat Ole Miss, that would eliminate Ole Miss. Auburn goes to Atlanta. Now, granted, and I don't really, support in anything to do with a lottery, but if you were so inclined, you probably, a lottery ticket might be easier to come by with a winning number than that scenario. There's a lot of moving parts there, Jay, but
Well, and particularly the fact that all of that is not totally dependent on what Auburn does. A lot of that's dependent on what else happens.
Well, that's right. And right now Mississippi State is the only team that actually totally controls their own destiny, given the fact that they're I mean, Alabama. Oh, that's not true. If the Tide beats Mississippi State and beats Auburn, they go to Atlanta for the SEC championship game. So, in a sense, Alabama and Mississippi State both control. Auburn, Ole Miss, we got to have some other stuff happen. But
Well, none of that sounds like it's impossible.
No, and I mean, it at least gives you hope. I think the best thing that a football team has going for it, Coach Malzahn says, look, we got to turn this thing around. First of all, we got to play better. I mean, Auburn has not – this is not Auburn from last year. Toward the end of the season last year, mistakes were at a minimum, and we just looked better. I mean, we were still having just breakdowns. First half, the second half adjustments by Coach Ellis Johnson, great. We got to somehow kind of get started a little bit faster. And I believe that's going to start Saturday night between the hedges, Jay. Auburn 38, Georgia 34.
All right, that sounds excellent.
And here's the thing, Jay. I think you've got a top 10 list to make me feel a little bit better about my prediction. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. Let me find it here. All right. Okay. Yeah, I do have a top 10 list. Here we go.
Okay.
Drum roll, please. All right. Number 10. The number 10 reason that Auburn will win the game against Georgia, Gus Malzahn has not lost back-to-back games at Auburn.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. So here's a number 9 reason. Auburn leads the SEC in rushing, and just 2 weeks ago, Georgia gave up the second most yards in school history to Florida. Florida!
On the ground. Wow.
All right.
Yes.
Number 8, for Stan's complicated scenario that we just heard, for Auburn to be SEC champs, Auburn has to win this game.
That's a given, yeah.
All right. Number 7, Todd Gurley returns after being suspended for 4 weeks. Oh, wait, that belongs in the top 10 reasons Georgia would win. Let me get rid of that.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, that's not good. All
right, try this one instead. Georgia lost to South Carolina. Mm-hmm. We beat South Carolina. Georgia lost to Florida. Now, we didn't play them, but we beat LSU, and they beat Florida.
Therefore,
Auburn will beat Georgia.
How do you do it?
All right, number 6. We have Cameron Artis Payne. This guy leads the conference in rushing, and not many people are talking about him.
Yes.
What's up with that? Mm. All right, number 5. Now, this is a series oddity here. The visiting team has had a lot of success in this series.
Yes,
we are the visiting team.
Oh, that's right.
All right. Reason number 4. Georgia's defensive coordinator is Jeremy Pruitt, who was the defensive coordinator for Florida State at last year's national championship game. Wait, that's another reason Georgia would beat us.
Man, I tell you, throw that in there with that girly thing.
All right. How about this one, then? Sanford Stadium is built east and west instead of north and south. All right, let's just go on to the next one. Number 3. Who did let the dogs out? Cue the music.
Who let the dogs out?
All right. Number two, even though Georgia's Hudson Mason is a senior, this is his first Auburn-Georgia game. He could fold under the pressure, Stan.
Yeah, I think so.
Fold right in half. His head might even fall off. All right, the number one reason Auburn will win this football game, playing these Bulldogs, I got two words for you. No cowbells.
Wow.
And that's it.
Jay, I'm going to tell you something. That whole dog, let the dog thing, you know, while you were doing, there was a knock at the door. Don Cornelius from Soul Train, he wants your soul, that whole soul thing back.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Anyway, so, okay. I like that top 10 reasons, Jay. That's awesome, folks.
Now, seriously.
I hope you're at home. If you're, you need to be writing these down. I have it, Jay. I have it on good intel that we do have some of our faithful listeners that take notes on this show. Can you believe that?
Oh, that sounds good. I just hope nobody holds my feet to the fire on any of this.
Well, that's you're not under oath, Jay. Keep that in mind, brother. All right. So, looking back, it's time to let's look back real quick at this past weekend's games in the conference.
All right. Any surprises?
And see, well, besides our game, Jay, I mean, is that not surprising enough for you?
Oh, man. Oh, I just walked right over that
one. Yeah, you did. Ooh. So here's the thing. Well, of course, if we talked about Georgia ran Kentucky out of the Commonwealth, Ole Miss got a much-needed breather against Presbyterian. I didn't get any reports if there was any religious conflict there, but the Vanderbilt Commodores were good, gracious hosts and allowed the Gators to beat them at home. In one of the great defensive battles in the SEC, the Crimson Tide came back in late and beat LSU in overtime 20-13. And I've got to tell you, Jay, one of the great drives in Bama history was engineered by Blake Sims. You gotta hats off for them for being able to get it down there and kick, and tie it up and put it in overtime.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Bama beats LSU. Mississippi State, Jay, they beat up on the folks from up the road here at UT Martin. It was, 45-10 over UT Martin, Mississippi State. So, again, it was a big weekend for Open. Tennessee, Missouri, Arkansas, and South Carolina.
Wow.
Registered W's. Open, so far, Jay, Open is they have not won a weekend. Okay, so now looking ahead to this weekend's games, we've got obviously a couple of really 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 big ball games. Maybe the biggest one, other than ours, is the game over in Tuscaloosa.
Wow.
The CBS primetime game in the afternoon. Mississippi State, undefeated, travels to Tuscaloosa to play the Tide. Jay, this has got all the, markings of a classic. I really think, though, that Mississippi State, the last few weeks, they've shown some vulnerability. I mean, they didn't look good against Kentucky on the road. And believe you me, Tuscaloosa is not Kentucky. I think in Alabama, if you look at what they've done this year at home, with the crowd and everything, Blake Sims has played out of his mind. I'm going to have to go with I'm going with Bama in this one, Jay. Around about 31-24 is what I'm.
All right, that sounds good to me.
So,
especially because that will play into your scenario that you mentioned.
Well, that's
earlier.
Right. That sounds good. That's right. But I do think Bama at this point is better than State. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
You've got some other big games. Missouri, Texas A&M. They're playing Missouri coming off that open week. By the way, Jay, Missouri wins out. They win the East. And that may be time for another one of the crowd reaction because, Missouri, who's lost at home to Indiana and lost to Georgia at home 34-0. They're in position, of course, now, again, and you wonder what Texas A&M coming off a huge upset of us.
Yeah.
They go home. Missouri's had a week off. Believe it or not, Jay, I like Missouri to beat Texas A&M. I think they're going to look at the film at what we did to stop Allen in the second half, and I like Missouri to beat Texas A&M over there.
All right.
You've got Kentucky traveling to Knoxville. This is, I mean, Tennessee's a new team with Josh Dobbs running that show, running the quarterback position. Kentucky looks like to me they've run out of gas. I like the Vols 14 over at least over Kentucky in Knoxville. Another huge game. Believe it or not, when we were just about ready to put Florida's Coach Muschamp into the unemployment line, he's got his own little scenario to win the Eastern Division. And it's one of it, of course, it starts Saturday. They've got to beat South Carolina in their last SEC game.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Now here's the thing. If they beat South Carolina and we beat Georgia, then these Missouri games become huge, because then Missouri would would have to probably win. Again, I hadn't looked at theirs as close, but they probably have to win at least one game. Now, Missouri plays, of course, A&M this week. Then they go on the road and play Tennessee and Knoxville, and they end up with Arkansas at home. So three games that they could lose, three games they could win. But that's pretty much – that's pretty much it around the conference this week, Jay.
Stan, you seem like when we got started, you seem like there's something on your mind. Have you got a beef?
Have I got a beef? Yeah, I got a beef.
Beef of the week.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, Jay. I've been holding off saying this, and this loss has kind of put me, you know, a little bit over top. I'm a member of Auburn Undercover, and I read stuff on the internet, and I really am concerned about some of these Auburn guys, Auburn fans, you know, the way they have been attacking some of our coaches. Now, I don't like losing as much as, you know, I don't like losing any more than anybody. I mean, I hate losing.
Yeah.
I'm not ready, though. Every time we have a poor game, let's fire some coaches. And, I talked to a lot of Auburn people. A lot of Auburn people, you know, come up and ask me different things. But, I mean, and during the game, I'm just like the coaches. You know, I mean, you look over there on the sideline. Coach Malzahn's upset. Coach Garner, I'm sure Coach Johnson in the press box. But there's a difference between that, Jay, and attacking your family. And that's what these guys are to me. I mean, these coaches and these players are family. There's a time and place. And, you know, here's the thing, and this is what gets me. You got these guys on the internet, on Auburn Undercover, that say, well, you know, you sunshine pumpers, you're probably going to downvote us on this comment, and then they'll just trash somebody. And I'm thinking, hey, what is a sunshine pumper exactly? I mean, what is that? Is it because we may not say, oh, I mean, the world is you know, the sky is falling? That makes me a sunshine pumper? Is that what they're saying? You know, what happened to people, you know, having a positive attitude, getting behind a guy? I mean, how short is everybody's memory? 2012, we were 3-9, Jay, 0-8 in the conference, folks. 0-8. Coach Malzahn, 1 year we win the SEC title. I mean, you might want to go back and look at the Auburn record books and see how often a first year Auburn coach has won the conference. I'll help you out on that. Never. So, I mean, and then in the second year, and we're still there, Jay. Now, granted, we got upset by Texas A&M. Okay? So, we lost to Texas A&M, and we shouldn't have, and we were a favorite. I mean, it goes on every week. I mean, Auburn people, a lot of them will act like, hey, this doesn't happen to us ever. So, you know, I'm really fed up with kind of fair weather. Oh, you know, let's just clean house because they got a first down that we didn't like. As a matter of fact, Ellis Johnson is one of the best defensive coordinators, Jay, in the business. Go back and look at it like Leo DeRocher or one of the baseball managers said, you know, it's a fact. Look it up. Well, you look at his past record. We still have a few years of some recruiting to get that defense up talent-wise where the rest of the team is. So that's my beef right there. Let's go, Auburn people. I mean, pick it up, War Eagle, and let's be positive.
And that is Stan's Beef of the Week.
Beef of the Week.
That's right. We've come to the end of another podcast. We're currently hosing Stan down, and everything will be okay. I promise, folks.
All right. So, Jay, we got Georgia Saturday. Let's see what happens if the first leg of that improbable journey back to Atlanta for the SEC championship game is possible. And join us, you know, again next week. We'll look ahead, or you know, at Samford briefly, but we'll look back at this exciting weekend coming up, see how it all turned out.
All right, man, that sounds great. Well, you've been listening to Talking Tigers Football with Stan and Jay, and we didn't even make you eat any crow.
Oh, great.
Okay, well, yes. We want to say thank you to La Placida Mexican Restaurant in Madison on Hughes Road next to Gates Cleaners. Are there any more crows?
No, I think that's
no
it.
No more crows? That's okay. It. Tell them the guys at AU Fans sent you down there at La Placida and have a great meal.
Absolutely.
War Eagle.
War Eagle, Jay.
You've been listening to Talking Tigers Football with Stan and Jay, with your hosts, Stan Stevens and Jay Webb. This has been a production of AUFans.com in association with Webb and Stevens Unlimited Media. Thank you for listening, and War Eagle!